Whenever we talk about the creation of the world, we know that the world certainly attacks it in lots of different ways. But we usually think that that attack is limited to the 6 days of creation, as if that's the only thing that they're concerned about. And while the 6-day creation is something we should uphold, you know, God created the world in 6 days and in no other period of time, it's certainly not the only thing that the world attacks today. Because there are so many things that the world does and that Satan does to try to undermine this, so that there is no doctrine in all the rest of Scripture attacked more than this one. And I want to show you today, Christians, that many of the debates that are going through our society today are at heart a question of the creation of God. But before we do that, of course, we need to see what it is that Genesis 1 teaches us, at least 3 things that it teaches us. Because all of the issues in society today are a denial of at least 1, if not all 3 of these things. And the first thing that Genesis 1 teaches us is that God is the creator, that he is the one who has made the heavens and the earth. I mean, we hear that already in verse 1, where it says, in the beginning, God created. And all throughout this chapter, we hear things like God made this or God created that and so on. Before him, there was nothing. It's not like there was some blocks sitting around that he suddenly decided to put together. There was absolutely nothing before he began to create the world. And without him, there is nothing. Everything you are and everything that you have comes from him alone. It's all because he is the creator. The second thing that Genesis 1 teaches us is that this creation is good. Because how many times do you hear throughout this passage, God saw that it was good? You know, God is good, everything he does is good, and everything he gives you is good. We know that even today, in the middle of a broken and fallen world, just how good this creation truly is. And the third thing that Genesis 1 teaches us is that there is an order in creation, that God creates by separating things and putting them into their proper places. Because notice how many times we heard Genesis 1 say, God separated this from this. You know, like God separated the light from the darkness, which shows us that light is not darkness, darkness is not light, and that's a good thing. Each one has its place. Each one has its purpose. We don't want to mix those together and to have something that is neither light nor dark, nor do we want to uphold one and say that it's better than the other. No, God creates both light and darkness and puts them into their proper places because that is part of the goodness and of his design. Now, of course, Genesis 1 goes on to talk about so much more than this. I mean, it's a very rich chapter. We could spend a whole month talking about it and not come to the end. But I want to focus on these 3 things in particular so that we can look at the problems that we are going through today. So the first one I want to look at then is in verse 27, especially the end of this verse. It says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now focus especially on that last part. Male and female, he created them. What does that have to teach us? Well, the first thing it teaches us is that God has created both male and female, that he has put them into their different places. A man is not a woman, and a woman is not a man. And that's a good thing. That's part of his creation. It's part of his order. You know, he gives them a different purpose. He gives them a different place as part of his good design. And this is something that we should not mix together to say that, you know, something that is neither male nor female, nor should we say that one is better than the other. God has created both as part of his good order. The second thing we can learn from that is that God has made each one of you to be either male or female. And that's a good thing, because it's not an accident. It's not unimportant. It's not just one little tiny detail about who you are. God has made you to be a man or a woman, because he has created you in this time and in this place to be who you are. And we should see that as the good thing that it is. But the last thing we want to learn from this is that it shows us that God also has created you and your identity. God has said, this is who you are. You know, he has created you to be male or female. He has put you within a certain family. He has put you within this community. This is not an accident. This is all part of what God has created for you as part of his good order. And it's certainly nothing that we should be ashamed of for any reason. But Christians, the world attacks that, doesn't it? The world tries to say, no, no, you are who you say that you are. You are who you decide for yourself. All of these other things, the world says, that's just an accident. What matters is the identity that you have chosen for yourself. Even when the world says something like, I was born this way, it's really the same thing. Because what they're saying is nothing, not even my own body, can dictate who I am. That I can choose all of these things for myself. This, unfortunately, is at the heart of what we call transgenderism. This idea that male and female aren't that important, that we can somehow move between one or the other, and it's all a matter of what we say that we are. You know, my body is not who I am, they say. I identify as something I have chosen for myself. And even pronouns, you know, he or she, has nothing to do with who I am. I can decide all of these things for me. This, of course, is a denial of the good order within creation. But Christians, ask yourselves, do we sometimes fall into this kind of thinking ourselves? Do you say, I am who I say that I am? Do you think that you are who you are because of the choices that you have made in your life? Do you think that no one can tell me who I am, that I can decide all of these things for myself? If I just put my mind to it, I can be whatever I want to be. Unfortunately, this kind of thinking is all throughout our culture, and many Christians can fall prey to it as well. But the doctrine of creation teaches us, Christians, that we are who God says that we are, that we are who God has made us to be, that he has made you to be male or female, that he has made you to be who you are in this time and in this place. And that is his good gift, something which we should not reject. So Christians, let us not think the way that the world does about this. Let us think the way that God does. Now I want to look at the first part of verse 28, where it says this, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And this part shows us that fruitfulness is a blessing of God, that children are a great blessing. And if children are a great blessing, the Bible says, many children are a greater blessing. So that we can even say that having a whole bunch of people in the world today is a very great blessing of the Lord. That fruitfulness and fertility and multiplying all come from him. But the world says, no, no, there's too many people in the world today. People are a curse. People are a blight on nature. I mean, I've watched movies where they say things like people are a cancer or a virus which need to be eradicated, as if the world would be better if there were far fewer of us. And as a result of that, too, they also say that children are a burden, and that children are something that are only going to bring you down. Don't have too many of them, or even don't have any at all, and then you will be happy. Then you will find happiness in your life. That's what the world says, because it denies the goodness of God's creation. But Christians, do we fall into this way of thinking too? Do we think that there are too many people around, that the world is overpopulated, or that children are a burden rather than a blessing? If we do, we need to repent, because that's the way that the world thinks. God shows us very clearly in his word that fruitfulness, that multiplying, is a great blessing, something which we should rejoice in and give thanks to the Lord. And all of these problems which we see because of a lot of people in one area, things that we usually say, the world is overpopulated, I guarantee you, you dig even a little bit, and you're going to find that it's the result of wars or politics. That if we just stop fighting each other, and if we just got along a little bit better, this world would have more than enough resources to support a population far bigger than even the one we have right now. Because God will provide for his people. And children, as the Bible says, are also a heritage from the Lord. So we don't want to think the way that the world thinks. We want to think the way that God thinks. And the last one I want to look at then is also part of verse 28. God says, fill the earth and subdue it. And this shows us that God puts us into groups. Because there's no way that one person could do this. There's no way that even Adam could fill the earth and subdue it. There has to be many of us. There has to be groups of us in order to carry this out. This is why God puts us into a family. You know, with a father leading the family, a mother caring for the family, children following, and so on. That's a good thing from the Lord. And he puts many of these families together into a community which cares for one another, a community which provides for one another. And that is also a great blessing of the Lord. That's something that is very good. And he puts many of these communities together into a nation bound together by blood, a nation bound together by traditions and customs. And this is all a good thing from God. Society is a blessing from the Lord. But the world says no. Society is bad. All of these things we have going on right now are oppressive, they are unjust, they are holding us back. We need to destroy them, the world says, and start over. I mean, there are communistic ideas in the world today which say the family should be eradicated, that society should be torn down so that we could build up something better in its place. Then we will find something good. Christians, we have to resist that idea. We can't give in to it. Because yes, there are problems in society. Nobody's going to deny that. But the way to fix these problems is not by a great reset. It's not by saying, let's just start over and try again. The way to fix these problems is the same way you fix the problems in an individual's life. To repent and to believe in the gospel. It is Jesus who will fix the problems of a nation. It is Jesus who will fix the problems of a community. It is Jesus who will fix the problems of a family. Because Jesus and Jesus alone is our hope for the future. So we should not think the way that the world does, Christians. We should think like God. Now, the purpose of all of this is to show us how Satan and the world attack the doctrine of creation in lots of different ways. I mean, there's more ways than just these ones. This is certainly not the end of it. But the truth is, we have to ask, why? Why does Satan and the world attack creation like this? What is their point? Well, they want to deny that God is the creator. And they want to deny that God is the creator because then they can deny that they belong to him. And if they can deny that they belong to him, they can also deny that we must answer to him, that we are responsible for the things that we have done, which is another way of saying they want to deny that they are sinners. So a denial of creation, then, is an attempt to hide from God. But Christians, we should not hide. We should confess our sins, even those sins of thinking the way that the world does. Because when we confess those sins, God will forgive us in Jesus Christ. And God and the whole and Jesus will give us the Holy Spirit so that we may be forgiven, made a new creation in him. And then as a redeemed people, a new creation, we can rejoice in the goodness of God's creation, waiting for that day when he will make it into something better than we can even imagine. Christians, we should not think the way that the world thinks. We should think like God, to think like Christ. And when we do so, we will be able to see the goodness of the creation of God. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have created all things for our benefit. We pray that you would lead us always to give thanks for them and to think as you think about them, that we may not be enticed by the world, but may follow after you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.